Choice Words, a Critical Role fanfic, written by Sabine Legrand, read by Black Glass. Vex is late coming home. Percy's not quite sure where she is. She was working with her foresters today, but they were supposed to be back by nightfall. He's not yet worried, because the woods are not an exact science, even for an experienced ranger. In the morning he'll be concerned. But for now, he's just sitting in their room with the book, passing the time. He could be doing a lot of things other than sitting with the book. Projects in the workshop needing attention. But to be completely honest, if Vex isn't completely exhausted when she gets back, he's planning to tempt her into bed. It's late when Vex gets back, but not terribly so. She doesn't look particularly pleased when she enters. She looks weary instead. And Percy wonders selfishly if his plan is destined for failure. "Are you all right?" he asks, going to help her out of her leathers. "My back is killing me," she says, though she looks less uncomfortable after she's down to her tunic and leggings. "Here, lie down," Percy says, guiding her to the bed, and she flops onto it face down. Percy gets in after her, kneeling to one side of her body. She sighs when he starts to rub her shoulders, firm pressure to work out her stiffness. "You're so tense."
"I have half a dozen reasons to be,"
Vex says into the mattress. "I never said I was surprised," he says. He makes his way down her back, working on the tension, and he can feel it start to give, the way she relaxes into the bed with a pleased noise. He starts kissing her then, starting at the nape of her neck, and stretching himself out over her.
"Well, I appreciate what you're doing. You should know it's not going to get you anywhere," Vex says. And he stops, caught out. "Can't I be kind for kindness' sake?" Percy says, trying to play it off. "Very rarely, but I don't mind that about you," she says.
"You caught me," he tells her. "But I suspect you know all my tricks by now."
Vex turns over, looking up at him, and she looks considerably better than when she came in.
"If you need to get laid, darling, I really don't mind," she says. "Have a good time, and wash up before you come back."
For half a second, Percy considers turning her down. If he didn't know she was genuine, he would.
"Well, perhaps I'll just walk it off," he says.
"Does your back feel better, at least?"
"Much," she says, leaning up and kissing him. "Now go."
Percy's walk almost consists of just the distance to Terry's room. Unfortunately, he knows Terry is asleep, and he doesn't like being woken up for anything, not even sex. Instead, Percy gets dressed again, rather simply by his usual standards, and makes his way out of the house. For a while, he thinks he really will walk. The evening air is cool and moist, promising rain soon, and it feels good just to wander down the streets. Wandering is what he'd say if someone asked, anyway. In actuality, he feels drawn to the castle, and he doesn't stop himself from going, all the way there and up the path and inside. He has a selection to make. Keyleth and Pike were making eyes at each other during dinner, and thus are probably together already. Percy thinks it would be rather rude to barge in on them. Knowing the two of them, they'd probably invite him in and show him a good time, but he couldn't know for sure whether they were just doing it to be nice. So discounting them, that just leaves two choices. Vex is one option. The animosity between them has slowly cooled over time, but sometimes it comes back in bed. Vex likes a fight, even on his best day, and Percy enjoys playing into it, riling him up. It's back and forth between them, and Percy has always wanted Vax to keep him on his toes. It's not that he doesn't enjoy it, but Vax can be a handful, and he's not sure that's what he wants today. Grog is the other. If he chooses Grog, Grog is going to pin him to the nearest flat surface and fuck the living daylights out of him. Sometimes Percy can't take that. Grog's cock a challenge, even when he's relaxed. But sometimes it's exactly what he needs. It's going to hurt, but it makes Percy feel so alive to ride that edge. He makes for Grog's room. Grog is there, the door open, and of all the things to be doing, he's reading a book, or at least squinting at one with great concentration. "What are you reading about?" Percy asks, and Grog's lack of surprise tells him that Grog heard him coming.
"Something very smart and impressive," Grog says.
Percy peers at the book's spine.
"Lycanthropes," he says. "I am indeed impressed." "It's got some good pictures, too," Grog says,
flipping to the middle and showing Percy a particularly gory woodcut of a werewolf and its victim.
"I think you found your ideal reading material," Percy says. "But I wondered if I might draw you away from it for a moment."
"With what?"
Grog asks.
"With me," Percy says.
It takes Grog a second.
"Oh,"
he says. He very gently sets his book aside, giving it a pat.
"Reading can wait."
"If I've learned anything, it's that it very much can," Percy says.
Grog is already walking towards him with a certain swagger in his step, and Percy doesn't move, lets himself be hunted. He's taller than everyone else in the group, so it's different to have Grog tip his chin up to kiss him, bending down over Percy. The kiss is possessive, demanding, and Percy melts into it, lets Grog have him. Percy sheds his clothes quickly. He didn't bother putting anything on underneath them, and it feels good to be naked and vulnerable, with Grog still, by Grog standards, fully clothed. He moves closer, the rough fabric of Grog's pants rubbing against his half-hard cock. He can't help the way he moves into it, looking for friction. He can feel Grog's cock through the material, just starting to pay attention, but already massive, bigger than Percy's by far. The kiss goes on for long moments more, but Grog is not the most patient, nor is Percy inclined to stall. Grog slaps his ass hard, grabbing a handful, and squeezing before stepping away.
"Face down, ass up."
"I do so love your subtlety," Percy says, but he does it, crawling into Grog's massive bed.
It makes him feel small, but that's not a bad thing, not when what he wants is to be taken over. He tries to find a good position, admittedly more focused on presenting an appealing picture than being comfortable. He hears the soft thud of Grog's clothing hitting the floor, the noise of him rummaging around in the chest by the bed for a bottle of oil. Percy knows he goes through a lot of it, but he doesn't think anyone is complaining, especially Grog. The mattress dips as Grog gets in behind him. He pushes Percy's legs farther apart, in a way that feels obscene, even in the middle of something by nature obscene. Grog's cock slides against his ass, and Percy wonders, as he wonders every time, how the hell he's going to get that thing up him. Somehow he always manages, but it feels impossibly big. He grinds back against it, wanting every inch inside him. Grog moves back momentarily, giving himself room. The oil is cool as Grog's fingers start to play over his hole, but it warms quickly. Despite appearances, Percy knows that Grog has a very clear sense of how large he is, even his fingers, and he's slow in opening Percy up, doing it by stages. Soon enough, Percy is pushing back against him, trying to get all he can, and he makes a noise of protest as Grog pulls his fingers out. Grog laughs, low and pleased.
"Calm down," Grog says. "You'll get yours. Trust me."
Grog is as good as his word, because before Percy can even reply, Grog starts to push into him. Percy tries to relax, but it still hurts. The pain recedes as Grog sinks deeper, eventually bottoming out inside of him.
"You good?" Grog asks.
Percy takes a moment to adjust, get used to the stretch. It's only a moment, because he wants this too badly to stall any longer.
"Very," he says.
Grog takes him at his word. He puts his big hands on Percy's ass, holding him open as he starts to slowly move in and out. Percy thinks that, if pressed, Grog would say it was for safety. But he suspects that it's just that Grog likes it, watching as he thrusts inside, so much deeper than most people can hope to get. He starts to gradually increase his speed, getting Percy used to it before he starts pounding into him, which is exactly the treatment that Percy wanted. They've been at it for a while, when Grog puts his hands on Percy's shoulders, using his grip to pull Percy back onto his cock. Percy looks up for the first time, his face no longer pressed into the mattress. It's only then that he sees that he forgot to close the door all the way behind him. It stands open maybe 6 or 7 inches, which is enough to get an eyeful at the right angle. Intellectually, Percy knows it means nothing. The guards and servants have strict orders not to lurk around Vox Machina's rooms, and none of them are new enough to be titillated by the prospect. Everyone in Vox Machina itself is sleeping with everyone else, so no one would be surprised. Even if one of them noticed, they'd politely ignore it. Let Percy and Grog get down to business as they will. That's not at all what it feels like, though. Percy moans almost involuntarily. He hopes Grog will think he's just really into it, but Grog stills. In his mind's eye, he can see Grog put 2 and 2 together. In one movement, he goes back onto his heels and carries Percy with him. Percy finds himself astride Grog, his legs spread wide across Grog's thick thighs. Before, someone could have seen, but now they'd get a full show, right down to Grog's cock sliding in and out of Percy's body. "That's better," Grog rumbles into Percy's ear.
"Grog, please," Percy says,
and he doesn't even know what he's asking. He's a little horrified, and so turned on he can't think straight, and he can't tell if he wants to leap out of bed and slam the door, or give the entire castle, excepting Cassandra, a good look.
"You don't need to keep dreaming about being used," Grog says.
Percy was kind of hoping he'd forgotten about that particular fantasy, divulged while drunk, thankfully to only Grog, but still impossible to take back.
"Everybody wants you. All we'd have to do is tie you up and leave the door open, and everybody could take turns. Easy as that."
"It's a bit more complicated than you're making it out to be," Percy says, though the image is there when he shuts his eyes. So appealing and so remote.
"No, it's not," Grog says. "You're just saying that because you're afraid of what you'd look like. Like we don't all love seeing you wrecked."
His lips are close to Percy's ear, close enough that Percy can feel his breath.
"Or you're afraid of what it would make you."
"And what is that?" Percy says, trying to pretend he's not hanging on the answer.
"Our slut," Grog says,
and he says it so matter-of-factly, like a thing that's perfectly obvious and morally neutral.
"Not that that's a bad thing."
"Keep talking," Percy says,
and he hopes Grog isn't going to ask him to clarify. Grog changes his grip. He puts one big hand around the base of Percy's neck. Not tight, but impossible to ignore. The other arm he puts around Percy's waist, and Percy loses what leverage he had. Can't do anything but let Grog move him.
"It's okay if you want to be slutty," Grog says,
fucking up into him, his hips rolling slowly, every thrust driving Percy's tension higher.
"You're so fancy and polished, and it's hot when the shine comes off."
Grog nips his ear, just hard enough to make Percy gasp.
"'Cause we know what you really are. You roll right over for all of us. You want us to use you. You want us to break you."
Grog laughs, a rumble that goes through Percy's body.
"The only question is how."
"Oh, fuck,"
Percy says, because this is really, really working for him, and he wants Grog to go so much farther.
"You probably want to start slow, and that's okay."
Despite his words, Grog moves faster.
"Maybe Keyleth first, riding your face until you can't breathe."
Nothing about that is unusual for Keyleth. Of all of Percy, She likes his mouth the best, and Percy loves to oblige her. She's learning, but she's still wild, taking too much without meaning to. She'd wrap her thighs around his head and forget to let go, keep him trapped there, unable to do anything but keep working his mouth against her until she comes and comes and comes.
"Then I'll loosen you up,"
Grog is saying, and Percy is drawn away from his thoughts of Keyleth.
"I always wanted to know how it felt to fuck with the knuckles on."
Percy feels a frisson of real fear, because there's nothing stopping him from doing it right this second, and it might just rip Percy in half. As a fantasy, though, it's dangerously attractive, the thought of being even fuller, stretched out so wide that he might never recover. Grog could do whatever he liked, and Percy couldn't stop him. He has barely any chance of stopping him even now, but enlarged, Percy wouldn't even be able to budge him. He'd be ruined after that, unable to even walk, unable to do anything but take. And they're not even halfway through.
"Then we'll see if Terry and Vax can fit both their cocks in you at once,"
Grog says, and his voice is starting to get deeper, sharper, like it's difficult to go on. Percy groans, because he can almost feel it, Terry sliding in carefully and gingerly from below, only for Vax to shove in above him. He imagines what it would be like, being pulled in two directions, full to bursting, Terry rocking into him slowly, while Vax demands more, shoving him down into Terry's arms and holding him there, so that he could fuck in quick and hard. And Terry would be almost apologetic about it, kissing Percy over and over to ground him. But he wouldn't be able to hold out, couldn't keep himself from pushing in faster, deeper, until both of them filled Percy up with cum.
"After that, we'll turn Pike loose on you. And I don't have to tell you what that's like,"
Grog says. And he really doesn't. Pike's wild streak is a mile wide, and she's ferocious in bed. She'll hurt him, and smile about it. She thinks it's not really sex, until someone needs a healing spell. And Percy can remember clearly the red silhouette of her hand on his cheek, soothed away by a tingle of divine energy. Pike will take and take, before she even slides onto his cock, demand whatever Percy has left to give, and then more, make him perform for her, even when he's all but used up. She'll use him like her toy, and discard him like that, mess him up, even when he's so messed up already. Grog is fucking him faster now, slamming up into him as he holds Percy still.
"And Vex last, just to see how broken you are before she picks up the pieces."
That one hits Percy between the ribs. He cares deeply for all of them, but Vexalia is where he belongs, an attachment that supersedes the rest of them. And what gets him is not the thought of Vex's potential disapproval, her disgust. It's how proud of him she'd be. She'd ride him slowly, murmuring into his ear about what a good boy he was, how well he took it, how good he looked when he was wrecked. Then she'd clean him up and put him back together. And she'd still want him, still adore him, knowing how far he'd fallen, how filthy he really was. Then she'd throw him to the rest of them, and the whole thing would start again.
"If you keep talking, I'm going to come," Percy says, voice strained, not sure if it's a plea or a warning.
"Yeah, that's it," Grog says,
and he's starting to sound winded, like he's getting very close.
"Show me how much you want this. Show me how hot you get when I fuck you raw."
He drops his hand to Percy's cock, enveloping the whole thing easily, and Percy can't resist bucking up into his hand. He's almost there. So near the edge, he can taste it.
"Everybody already knows what you like. You can't hide what you really are."
Grog bites down on his shoulder, and Percy can already tell it'll leave a mark.
"We're gonna fuck you until the outside matches the inside, until you look as slutty as you feel."
His hand is moving fast on Percy's dick, and Percy only needs the smallest thing, the tiniest push to send him over.
"Now come," Grog says.
And that was the button, the authority and force in his voice, the last thing Percy needed. He goes off, striping his stomach and chest with white, and Grog runs his fingers through it, pushing them into Percy's mouth. Percy sucks on them instead of screaming, the bitter taste of his own release on his tongue. He hasn't really even finished coming when Grog shoves him forward, fucking him into the mattress. Percy is still riding out the last of it when Grog comes, shooting deep inside of him. It's long, long moments before Grog lets him go, falling back onto the bed with a satisfied sigh. Percy is still on top of him, and he carefully extracts himself. He lays down next to Grog for a while in a companionable silence, taking in everything that's happened. Nothing is going to come of any of it, but he's going to be thinking about it for a very long time.
"You want a cuddle?"
Grog says, when Percy sits up and swings his legs over the side of the bed. Grog is indifferent to postcoital cuddling, though he makes an excellent base for a puppy pile, and Percy knows he's just offering to be nice. Percy shakes his head, standing up and pulling his clothes on. "Vex wants me back," he says, and Grog doesn't look surprised or offended.
"That was exactly what I needed. Thank you."
"I'm happy to tap it when you need it tapped,"
Grog says, and Percy snorts in amusement.
"Good night, Grog," Percy says, turning to go.
Grog catches him by the arm, turning him back.
"Think it over," Grog says,
and it hits Percy in the stomach, the idea of everything Grog said being true, not just something from the heat of the moment.
"All you need to do is say yes."
"I'll consider it," Percy says, and this time Grog lets him leave. Percy goes down to the baths, where thankfully no one is around. He hisses when he lowers himself into the hot water, sore and raw, but he does feel much better afterwards. He puts his clothes back on and makes his way out of the castle. The usual night guards are at the entrance, and Percy's heart seizes for a moment. He both doesn't give a fuck what they think, and imagines that they can see it all over him. The fact that he walked all the way across town just to get fucked by a Goliath.
"Sir,"
the head guard says, simple deference rather than a request to talk, and Percy waves to him vaguely. They don't pay these people to ask questions, and Percy's not going to give answers. The streets are mostly quiet, broken occasionally by the noise and light of a tavern. He makes it back to Vex's in good time. The house is quiet and dark, and Percy bars the door behind him, being much more conscientious this time. In their room, Vex is naked beneath the covers, and Percy knows she doesn't mean anything by it, just enjoys sleeping that way. He slips out of his clothes and into a soft tunic, getting into bed behind Vex, and putting an arm around her waist. Vex rouses for a moment.
"Did you get some?"
she asks muzzily. Percy laughs.
"I did."
"Let me guess," Vex says. "Keyleth?"
"Quite the opposite," he says.
"Grog, then?"
she says, and Percy hums an affirmation.
"You must tell me all about it,"
she pauses, yawning.
"But not tonight."
He kisses her hair.
"Go back to sleep." "Gladly,"
Vex sighs, and within a minute she's out again. He shuts his eyes, trying to follow her, but he's still weighing Grog's words, the import of them, trying to split them up in what could be and what should never. He's finding more and more things to go in the former category, and he can't help focusing on them, turning them over and over. Maybe it's not as remote as he thinks. End of story. Thanks for listening.